Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable to thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
The opening verses of the Gospel reading for today caught my attention. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. And also Matthew 9, 37, 38. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus then goes on to select and commission the 12 disciples to share in his work. This selecting and sending has not ended. I think of the 18th century evangelists John and Charles Wesley, whose preaching outside in the fields from 1739 to 1765 touched many lives. I think of the 19th century evangelist Dwight L. Moody, who led revival meetings in the United States from 1872 to 1899. And of course, evangelist Billy Graham, who shared the gospel around the world in the latter half of the 20th century. I wonder, who will God call forth to be laborers in the 21st century? During the past few weeks, articles have appeared in news publications which have referred to another evangelist reformer, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who was active in the civil rights movement from 1955 to 1968. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 describes what God called him to do. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. To be a laborer in the name of the Lord means getting caught up in social justice issues. I think that the reading from Genesis identifies a justice issue, which I'd like to draw to your attention. Sarah gets a reprimand from the Lord for lying. "Oh yes, you did laugh," he said. Yes, I agree that we are not to lie. Lying brings about a breakdown in relationships and undermines society. However, Sarah's laugh to herself seems to be, to me, a normal reaction when one is 90 years old and one's husband is 100 years old, and a stranger says, "Oh, by the way, a year from now, you will have a baby boy." In fact, Sarah's silent laugh was exactly how Abraham reacted when he was told. In Genesis 17, verse 17, we read how Abraham reacted when the Lord said to him, "I will give you a son by Sarah." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said, Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Both Abraham and Sarah thought that the Lord must be mistaken. However, the Lord did not question Abraham's lack, and so Abraham did not have to defend his reaction. Sarah, who did not seem to know that her husband's luncheon guests were the Lord and two angels, was startled when the Lord read her thoughts, and she was filled with fear. Yes, I know, it still does not make lying permissible, but perhaps it makes us a little bit more sympathetic toward her. However, lying about a laugh is not the purpose of having this passage read. The message in this passage is verse 14. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? For the Lord Almighty to make it possible for a very old man and his elderly wife, who had never been able to have children, to have a son, so that the Lord's promise to Abraham and Sarah and their descendants could be fulfilled, does not seem out of line when the couple were known for being people who trusted the Lord all their life and who did their best to obey the Lord in what he told them to do. Abraham and Sarah may have questioned the Lord's decisions from some time to time, but in the end, they trusted and obeyed. This is the message we are to take away from today's first reading: trust and obey. Trust and obey is what the Lord looks for in those who will become his laborers in bringing in the harvest. There is a beautiful hymn which expresses this. It was written in 1887. The composer of the music, Daniel Towner, said that the inspiration for the hymn came about this way. One night, at a Dwight L. Moody revival meeting, a young man rose and said, "I'm not quite sure, but I am going to trust and I am going to obey." Towner jotted that sentence down and sent it with a little story to the Reverend John Sammis, a Presbyterian minister, who wrote the hymn, which goes like this. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May the Lord send laborers into the harvest, that all may be gathered in. May we trust and obey when we hear his voice calling us. In Jesus' name, amen.